What I wanted just to do today is to finish off the first topic that we began. People were able to actually hear and follow and and even see?
No, not so much.
What?
See, not so much.
25 seconds after the movement.
Oh, really? Interesting. And would it have been better? I did it on my phone in the end. Would it have been better if I'd done it on the computer, or it doesn't make a difference?
It worked. We got the audio.
What?
The audio.
It's whatever it is.
Effective.
Anyway, it's interesting. Okay. So I forgot to bring in my mirror again. I've been running to... I got in this morning, and I had to do some things before this, and a little bit under the weather, so you'll excuse me. I forgot my Meiri also. The Meiri El Atar, as I mentioned over the you know, the airwaves, considers the possibility, discusses and has 2 days of whether Mekadesh B'milvah is Mekudeshes or not. That's what we were discussing last time. And he also discusses the relationship between Mekadesh B'Gezel Diga and Mekadesh B'Ribis. And he considers Mekadesh B'Ribis possibly to be worse than the Kaddish B'Gezel Dida for technical reasons, having to do with Umdinas. I would have read it if I had it. But in addition to that, and it's more important, is that the Iri also discusses the problem that even if you believe Ribis Katsutsa right to be a kind of a Gezel, whether the fact that there is no din of Be'en here might not be a reason to be makal, to allow the kiddushin to be kal. But even if you think that ribis ketuta is something which is the equivalent of gezel, but it's not necessarily true that the money is gezel, because you know, the money itself is something, you know, which you know, which you elected to you know, apply to the chiyuv. Meaning you the lover, or in some cases, to make the following distinction, and this is something that's Noveya, also from the discussions that we'll get to in just a second, the other piece of the Marmakomas that we didn't finish yet, and that is the Avnei Milui. Right, the Avnei Milui discusses the position of the Mishnah Lamelech in this regard. Right, what is the status of Be'en when it comes to Ridis Ketzutza, and whether or not you can be Mechalek between the following scenarios. If I establish at the outset that the extra payment is going to include something specific, right, that's one case. And even then, you might say that it's a different kind of gezel. The question is, typically, there can be three scenarios. There can be a case where I'm kotzeitz the extra payments of ribis with a be'en. There can be a second case where I'm kotzeitz ribis and it's paid by the loga in the form of be'en. Then, of course, you know, the typical case is simply that there's, you know, mos and there's no be'en whatsoever. And the question is, do any of these distinctions count for the issues that we have been discussing? Is there a chalos, let's say kabbalas, chepta shel ribis, you know, in this process? And if so, does that really treat it like gezo more, let's say, than anything else? Obviously, again, the most extreme cases where you specify the ketzitza includes a ban. Since it's illegal to do it, meaning ribis ketzitza, you might say, well, for that reason, even though that was the ketzitza, there's still no such thing as be'en binyani ribis, but at least that would be the best, let's say, scenario for arguing that there is a be'en, something that really compares to gezel in the process. What do you got up there? Meiri?
Maybe he wants the Meiri.
You can quote lines if you don't mind.
I don't know which part Rabbi wants to read.
Okay.
It starts here with Kodem, that he's never...
Originally, he talks about just, you know, what the status of all this is. One second.
Yeah.
Great. Is there more? That's it. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the meiru's discussion. Thank you very much. So this, as I say, you might be mechalik between these different scenarios, and this would dictate, you know, there are really two aspects of this. Number one is from the perspective, even if you were to say that ribbis is a classical gezeila, whether or not it ever translates into a be'en is one question, and then, as I say, there's this hierarchy in terms of applying it. But of course, in light of everything that we tried to convey in the previous year, which is that even the positions that think that there is a din of gezo in ribbis katsutza don't dismiss the impact of the lova being a willing partner, and you know, therefore, we'll all admit, would acknowledge that there are differences, even fundamentally, between gzela and ribbis katsutza. Maybe certainly with respect to the chefza nigzal, and even with respect to the victim, namely the nigzal, the nignav, themselves. So this whole question, whether or not we treat this as a be'en, is going to be part of that whole issue. The Avnei Miluim, in a piece, we'll go through the Avnei Miluim in just a minute, but again, he discusses this with regard to the Mishnah Melech. The Mishnah Melech discusses the problem that comes up in other cases. Right, let's say, for example, somebody betos believes that they are obligated, you know, to give an object or to give money. Let's say, you know, Shimon is under the misimpression that he owes money to Reuven, right? And then he gives him a be'en, right, as part of that obligation. And then, you know, igloi milsa, that he didn't really owe him at all. Nobody cheated anybody, but it was betos. He gave it to him betos. So the Mishnah Melech points out that, you know, a lot of makoros that imply that under those conditions, right, the be'en, you know, would have to go back. And it's not only is it a tos and therefore he can't keep, you know, the extra money, I mean the recipient, right, the mekabel matano, or the mekabel, what he thought was a mecher, or the equivalent of a mecher, but that he has to give back the be'en itself because the whole thing was a tos. The question is whether or not the same is true with regard to ribbis. Now, when you have ribbis katsutza and you collect a be'en, right, so that's yotze b'dayanah, because we pass in like Rabbi Eliezer as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan. But then the question is the same halacha, right, since you had no right, so you have to give back, you know, the be'en itself, or can you get away with giving back, you know, mamon? In which case, again, it highlights that we're dealing with a very different, you know, kind of an issue. Either way, what I was trying to suggest was that there's a range of views as to how to understand ribbis, and even the view, there are views that think it's merely a chobas agavra, that's what the Ritva certainly underscores, both here and above Mitzia. There are those who think that it's a chobas agavra, but not klape the Rabbonu Shalom, but klape the Lova himself. There are, on the other extreme, are those who think that this is practically gezel, or really is gezel. And I was trying to show that the Ramban and the Rambam, each in their own particular cases, really seem to be comfortable with, or at least they seem to be signaling mixed messages when it comes to this particular issue, and that is a function either of the paradigm that I mentioned of the Sheikh Kamazik, or of this idea that some aspects of B'nai B'Zela equivalents you have. Certainly, the most fruitful areas in terms of the Malva being a Goslin, but in terms of the Cheftza Gzela, and especially in terms of the Nigzal being you know, totally a victim, when it comes to that aspect of it, we're going to readjust. So having said that, I just wanted to also mention that there's a debate in the Achronim. I mentioned the Tosfos in Bava Kamma on Kufyud Beis Amud Aleph. Discusses this and seems to take a strong stand. I think I already mentioned that there's a debate between Rami Bar Chama and Rabba in the Gemara here. Originally, the Gemara says that Rami Bar Chama is also meres with Shiosioris Kushus Lokeach Dami, and that's the reason why Yorshim don't have to return to Meiribis. That's again the signature halacha that the Ritva invokes both in Bab Metzia and here in Kiddushin to prove that Ribis is not Gezeila. And then the Gemara says, Rava Amar Liolam, same halacha, Liolam Emelacha Rishus Yorishlav, Kishus Lokeach Dami. right? The shiny hachad amakra al tikhu meito neshech v'tarbis. Ahadale kiheka de nachi behadach. L'dido kamazer le'rachmana, lebrei lo mazer le'rachmana. So the Balitosis here, say vim tomar hecha medaktik minod de kreshus lokeach dami, afil alav kreshus lokeach dami, osi shapa de peturim, kivin de midas nasano, l'snayu gabe betoris gzela, ele betoris halva. So this is a very strong formulation that Ribbis is not Gzela, but Halva, and again invoking the Lovez acquiescence as proof of that. And therefore the point is, why? What does it have to do with Ron Bar Chama? L'chein, ein chayav in l'hachsid, mil ba'al pein, a govam in a yarshim. So I don't know if it came across, I'm not sure if I got that part in or not, but I wanted to suggest that even if you take the view that that Ribbis Ketzutza is a chovas hagavra, meaning the Ziotu Badeanim is a chova, and not as a din gazel, perhaps there's still a way to explain the Gemara of Rami Bar Chama, not the way Tosa says the halacha. And that is because had you believed that Rishus Yoresh was not Kirshus Lokeach, then perhaps you would have thought that even if it's true that the chovas chazaras ribis is a chovas hagavra, and not midin gezel, then it still would apply to the yorshim. Because the question really is, to what extent do yorshim stand in for the morishim, or just they receive the chayfetz down? In other words, it's kom tachas, you know, hamorish, or it's a yerusha like other transactions. So I think another way to read the Gemara would have been to say that Rav Bar Chama agrees, even Rav Bar Chama agrees, that Ribbis Ketzutza is not gezela. But Rami Bar Chama is of the opinion that had Rishus Yoresh not been right Kirshus Lokeach, then we still wouldn't have drawn this sharp chiluk between Yorshim and the Malva. We would have said that the Yorshim vis-a-vis this particular property or money, right, are bimakom hamalva, and therefore they have the same chovas hagavra. But either way, Balitosis don't like it. So they say, "V'yeshlomar afagav demidas nesanalo isnayu gabe b'toras gzela tahavakin nesina b'tos nesan l'shem matana ela b'toras ribis." Therefore, mikri gzela de'ine kivin shamos de'en v'yuchayav l'hachser ilav dekrushus lokeach dami v'havashin rishus. So I just wanted to add that I think I may have said this. I don't remember that when Rava in the this Tosis is discussing Rav Bar Chama, and the question is, does he limit what he says to only to Rami Bar Chama? Because, notwithstanding what I just said, the Pashtus Rami Bar Chama seems to be looking at the paradigm of Gzela, Yish and Shina Rishos. And therefore, what he's saying is that within the world view of Rami Bar Chama, Ribbis Ketzutza is an act of Gzela. But when it comes to Rava, who has Gzeras HaKasuv, that's already a different perspective. So that was the view of the Nesivos. The Nesivos, the Siman Reish Ches Siv Katan Aleph, takes the stand that Tosis's seeming advocacy that Ribbis is Gezel is not Aliba de Rava, it's only Aliba de Rami Bar Chama. But as we said, even Rami Bar Chama might be interpreted the other way, and certainly the Pashtus, what Tosis says, you know, is not wrong according to Rava, and you know, certainly it sounds like even Rava, you know, may Dafka requires Xeris HaKasuv to teach you that you are that the Yarshim are potard Dafka because he believes that otherwise there would have been a... Yeah?
Just a clarification question. If you steal money, you have to return those bills themselves?
So this is an interesting question. That is an interesting question. Again, when it comes to Mil, we'll discuss it more. It's really not so clear. When it comes to milva, obviously, this touches on the question of milva lahotzanit. But the pashtus, if you steal cash, you really don't own the bills either, and you probably l'chatchila have to return them. Again, once you circulate them, that's probably yish and shin rishus. But as long as they're be'en in your property, I think you do have to return them, because you just don't have bailus over those pieces of paper. Yeah, that's a good question to highlight. Okay. Anyways, yeah.
What about the Kanas Marsh?
What about what?
The Kanas Marsh, would that apply?
That's a Dindra Banan already. We'll leave that out, you know, for now. that those are dinim drabanan, right? Mishum takanas hashavim. Yeah, but I'm really interested now in doraisa, ribis ketsutsa doraisa, and comparison to gezel doraisa. The other thing is I wanted to mention, and Josh wrote me a note, right, from which I did get, a good note, and I don't have a good answer, except I think there's something to derive from there. I wanted to say in the Rambam that there's also mixed evidence. That on the one hand, I thought that the Rambam was very sensitive to the Parshios, including Mishpatim, that you know that we're about to read, right? Yeah. And as I think I indicated, whenever the Torah speaks about Ribbis, it always speaks about it in a context of Tzedakah. That's something that I've noticed. I don't know if other people notice it so much. Now, again, I should also make it clear that you know it would have been easier to say all of this had it been true that the Iser Ribbis was limited to Aniya. And, of course, that's not the case at all. But that doesn't trouble me at all either, meaning the Yesod is the same. Right. First of all, there is such a thing as chesed and tzedakah, even to people who are not aniyim. And bigger point is that, you know, like the Rambam says, that this is a chiyuv chesed and achva, you know, and so on, which is what tzedakah is too, especially when you consider that tzedakah is, according to the language of the psukim, and definitely as the Rambam presents it in Perek Zayin, and then later on in Perek Yud, but especially in Perek Zayin, Pichas Matnas Aniyim, that tzedakah really isn't just like a nice thing to do. Tzedakah is really an institution in Jewish law, and like the ani has rights, you know, to be a mekabel tzedakah. Again, it's another one of those examples that I was referring to where the chiyuv chesed or the yoredeya part right, redefines a choshen mishpat type of obligation. So the idea that tzedakah and ribbis are one and the same, and that the highest form of tzedakah is to lend somebody mamon, you know, bali ribbis, so that he, on the one hand, doesn't have to sacrifice his dignity, and at the same time, you know, you've, you know, provided him the wherewithal, right, to be entrepreneurial in his own way, is, of course, a known quantity, and the Rambam counts it. In general, we'll see a lo kenosha, though I think I mentioned, I just didn't have a chance to document it, and I'm not going to go more into it now because I want to move on to other parts of the sugya, but if you just look very, very carefully at the Gemaras and the Rambams, you'll see that the Rambam, like, you know, intentionally almost overlaps the dinim of Milva Ribbis and the dinim of Tzedakah, and just the way he presents everything in Hukas Malavol. On the one hand, he presents it all in Malavolova, unlike the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, who presented it all in Yoredeya. I don't know if I mentioned that either, but the Bach, in the beginning of Hilchos Ribbis in Yoredeya, discusses, like, why is this in Yoredeya? Right. So I think it's perfect in Yoredeya. Certainly, if it's not even in Gezel, that it belongs in Yoredeya. Even if it is has elements of Gezel, for me, it belongs in Yoredeya, because the only reason that it ever is Gezel is because, first and foremost, it's a din Yoredeya. But the Bach really addresses it. He talks about, you know, Akum, and so on, and I don't want to get into the details. But the point I'm trying to make is that you know, this is kind of what we are contending with. So on the one hand, the Rambam, you know, does deal with it in Chosha Mishpat, right, and Sefer you know, Mishpatim, which is where Malva Blova together with Toin Benitan is. But on the other hand, he definitely presents it initially as being very connected to Tzedakah. Even his presentation of Ribbis Ketzutza Yotzim B'dayanim, he paskins like Rabbi Eliezer, doesn't sound like it's a hardcore Chosha Mishpat Halacha at all. And there are other indications too. At the same time, I thought that Hilchos Eidos, Perek Yud, where the Rambam says that Ribbis Ketzutza is Pasal Eidos Min HaTorah, again, Machlokas HaRishonim, Rashi and Rosh Hashanah talks about it, Tosas in Rosh Hashanah and in Sanhedrin, and so on. Big discussion in the Rishonim. And I wanted to contrast it to the Rambam's view about Chamsan Durabanan, who violates the Sachmud Ben HaTorah, to try to show that according to the Rambam, just because you take money, right, and you violate a law, that alone, that combination alone, does not make you Pasaleidus Ben HaTorah. What I've tried to explain previously is that for the Rambam, Lo Sachmo, the last of the Aseret HaDibros, the Shitaso, is more of a
Hilchos Deos type halacha, then it is a Hilchos Gzela or Geneva. Even though he happens to deal with it in Hilchos Gzela, just like he happens to deal with Brittus in Hilchos Milva, and usually the Rambam is the master organizer, and that's all true. I would have been happier in both cases had he dealt a little bit differently, but there are good reasons, obviously. It's an open question what the best place to put this in, since it has elements of both. But the point is that you see that, according to the Rambam, being pasul edus min haTorah, absent actual malchus, requires that the nature of the lav be one of chamas. And that's what I was trying to bedayek, that, you know, for him, apparently, ribbis qualifies, even though it doesn't start out that way. So Josh asked me, which is a very good ha'ara, I'm aware of it, is what about the lova? Because the Rambam there says that the malva and the lova are both pasul. So I don't think that that changes the picture. I do think that that is an important conclusion to drive, to get from it. In general, there is this interesting question, about how to look at the lav of the arev, the sofer, the lova, of course, the malva, right? There, everybody involved in ribbis violates lav. That itself is fascinating. And the question is, are they violating the same kind of an iser, right, or not? And that is an important question, particularly the malva, the lova, because one is the victim and the other one is the perpetrator, I guess, if you will. So are they really violating the same thing? And if so, is it a kind of misaye al idei aver? What exactly is it? So there are different formulations, Ramban al haTorah, the Rambam. There are different formulations about what the problem of the lova is. I just think that in the end of the day, what the Rambam holds is that the lova, who is enjoined from borrowing money of a ribbis, right, instead of just looking at him as a victim, which we also do, but again, because it starts with Hilchos Tzedakah, so in a certain way, he too is thumbing his nose at, because of Tavas Mamon, let's say, because he really wants to get this loan badly, and for whatever it is, the only way, he can get it, so Chamas Mamon is really motivating him, in this case, to violate this Iser. So, of course, he's not a Goslin. I mean, he is the victim. But in the sense that, Chamas Mamon is the Mechayiv, and that's the Koveya regarding Suleidus. So I think there's a double message in the Rambam. One is how we look at the Lova in this process. And secondly, a bit of an expansion, despite the fact that the Rambam has a complex view in Perek Yud.
Yeah. Two things. First, it's interesting that the Ramban the impetus for him to say it's his stuff, it doesn't seem to be like the way it's formulated in the Pesukim. It seems to be more just like halacha about, for a guy's mother. And
I mean, he doesn't note what I did, which is that the Parsios are connected.
Right.
He's bothered by the discrimination problem.
Yeah, and I think and then also the Kliyak, or so formulates the reason for the Saribis. There's a bunch of time, a key ikra time, his Saribis, who he should.
Right. Interesting. So that sounds a little bit more like the Rishonim's explanation is actually a Volsach mode.
Right.
Than it does as a real Gezel. Who says the Kliyakar? Very good. Anyway, so there's much more to talk about, obviously, in that bigger question and topic. And then finally, just I don't know if I got back to this or not, but the Ritva in Kiddushin does have an interesting comment, which I certainly mentioned, and I just don't remember whether I explicitly contrasted it with the Ramban. I might have. I probably did. And, if I did, I apologize for repeating it, but it's so important. And that is that the Ritva makes the Ha'ara, that even though you're a chayiv to return the Dmei Ribbis, right, it's not menatek the ase. It's a curious, you have a line there, Alex? Yeah. Like in the end, And he's trying to explain the whole thing, that it's not Gezel and so on. And as I say, he's more impressed with the fact that Rabbi Yochanan thinks that, you know, Ribbis Katzutzah is any Yotzeh B'Dayon, even though we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, which is why psychologically, I think he adds, that even though we do Yotzeh B'Dayon, and that's not Menatek the Lav either. Anybody have it or not?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. So that's like a curious line, and what does it mean, and where is it coming from, and how does he know it, and what does he mean by it? So if I didn't say it then, I'll just add now, and that is that I think that the Ritva intentionally, and if not intentionally, it's just the juxtaposition is very, very strong, is in contrast to the Ramban. Like the Ramban in the Hashmatos, I remember reading that, on Nitzas Asei Tezayin in Minyan HaMitzvos, right, says that a haderle ki heichad anichale dinachale and so on is a mitzvah saseh, and he compares it to heishav saigzeh lasher gazal. So again, if in bo baldin lachlok and say, how do you know that the Ramban thinks it's nita klase? He doesn't use the words nita klase, but I think it's a no-brainer. If you say that the obligation to return ribbis is a mitzvah, and that it's parallel to Beheshev, it's like Zela Shagazal, you say it's Nita Klasei. So when the Ritva had that, I'm guessing he had that in mind, and he's basically saying, I don't hold like the Ramban, I want you to know. And if he didn't have it in mind, certainly what he says is a very strong contrast. So what's fascinating is that the Megillas Esther says that the Rambam agrees with the Ramban, he just thinks that it's already included in Beheshev, it's like Zela Shagazal. Now personally, I think the way the Rambam formulates Yotze B'dayanim, it doesn't sound that way to me, it sounds like he downplays it. Had he really held that way, the way the Megillas Esther reads him, it would be further proof that the Rambam starts off at the Ardea, but then it really turns, like in Hosea does, into Hoshe Mishpat. Yeah?
Is the Ramban in Bava Metzia that ended off, he said, Vada Kamar Tanakamar Tanakamar Shinan Kumbase, Meacher Shein Vizin Kufin Oso Laksi Ervin Machayim Oso Klal, In Zil Lav Shinita Klausay.
Say so again? What is he explaining?
He's explaining...
Should it start Rabbi Yochanan?
Over there he's just explaining the Tanakham.
Right, not how he passed it.
And Ashmato says, quote the fact that we're Yotzei B'Dayanim as a proof that there's a mitzvah.
Yeah. Right. But he thinks that's Kufa. So basically, I think I said it the other day also that even if you hold, that's what's so fascinating about this topic, because you have the people on the opposite sides quoting the same evidence, right? In other words, the Ritva's quoting Rabbi Yochanan, even though we don't paskin like it, because he really thinks that the very existence of Rabbi Yochanan, is something that even Rabbi Eliezer, advocates can't ignore. And, you could say exactly the opposite too, or you could say that that's goof of the Bachlokes. Right? And the same is true about the difference between Yarshin and the Bailin. You could say, oh, that's a Gzeres HaPasu. That's the whole point, especially according to Rabba. So that means it's against the grain. Yarshin really would have had to give it back too. But that's not how the Ritva understood it, because his whole point is that this din is like the real din. It's not the Gzeres HaPasu exception. So I think this is true across the board. Lovez acquiescence is voluntary submission here, right? Whoever's going to invoke that is really, if you invoke the fact that the Gemara Havamina, that you don't need Ribbis, Ona'a, and Gezel, like that tremendously impresses you that the Gemara thought that, even though we don't paskin that way, or do you keep, quoting the fact that that was a Havamina, but we don't hold that way? Because that's exactly goof of a term. Okay, and finally, just one last comment about this, and that is that on Rashi itself, the diuk that the Ritva made in Rashi and so on, is that according to Rashi in Arsugya, Mekadesh Beribis, Ketutza, right, would be Mekudeshes, and it's only a linguistic question, right? So I just wanted to point out that then the Ritva goes on and links up what he says here and what he said in Bava Metzia, which is why we presented that way. It's in his view that, you should know it isn't Gezel, it's Chavos HaGavra, and so on. But, without going into detail right now, if you look at Rashi and Bava Metzia and other places, is the evidence for Rashi as strong as it is for the Ritva that he holds that way in Ribbis Katzutzah? if you ask me, the answer is no. So the fact that the conclusion, which is that you're, you know, able to be Mekadesh Beribis Katsutsa, is probably correct, even though he doesn't take, you know, as extreme a view as a Ritva. You know, that becomes, you know, a reinforcement to the other things that we were saying, which is that, number one, there's a Kedushin element here. Does it have to come for the Baal? Does it have to be received by the Isha? You know, do you need a Cheftza, you know, that's appropriate? You know, all the issues that we've been discussing again and again, and this is an example of it. And, or, this idea of, you know, Ribbis neither being completely, you know, Minutak from, you know, Gazel, right, nor being an absolute application of Gazel, but being something in between, right, and making the distinction between the Chafza, the Malva, the Lova, etc. All that is certainly enough to sustain Shitas Rashi. Right? So the conclusion, in terms of Mekudeshes and Mekudeshes, may be the same. The explanation may very well not be the same. Just as for the Meiri, as we saw, it's very possible that you could have, you know, Mekadesh, you could say that Milva, you know, is Mekudeshes. Mekadesh Beribis, rather, is Mekudeshes. Even if you believe that it is a form of Gezel, because you just think that the main point, right, is the fact that there's no Be'en, you know, involved. Okay, so now let's move on to the next point. So the next point is, just to finish off the Ribis issues, so far we've been discussing Mekadesh Beribis B'momon Shekibel Miribis, or the equivalent of that, right? Now, the guy, Ruvain charges Shimon Ribis, and Shimon pays, and the question is, to be Mekadesh with that money, or Ki'il to be Mekadesh with that money, and then we're discussing, as is it a Be'en, you know, it's not a Be'en, is it Gezel, and so on and so forth, correct? But the truth is that there's another issue here, and it may be even the main issue here. It's just hard to read in the Rishonim, but certainly got discussed and picked up by some of the Rishonim and by a number of the Achron. And that is the idea that Kiddusha Beribis Shelo Gava, right? I want to be Mekadesh Yisha Beribis that she owes me. Let's say it this way, and I think there are two issues here. I want to be Mekadesh with that fifth Zuz, right? Not that I received it and then I want to Mekadesh with it. Right? I want to Mekadesh with her as a Milva, right? The fifth Zuz is a Milva, the Torah's Milva. And let's say it this way, according to the Mandamar, or before we know, that Mekadesh B'Milva in a Mekudeshes. What's the halacha in that? Right? Everybody with me? Right? Because I don't get it back. She owes me a fifth Zuz. She agreed to, or there's an agreement between us that she'll pay me a fifth Zuz in the context of a loan, and I want to be Mekadesh on that part of the Milva. Does that also depend on the same issues that we previously discussed? Right? Or not? And really, there are two questions to raise here. One question we'll get back to a little bit later, and that is the question of, if there is a Mandamar who holds Mekadesh B'Milva is Mekudeshes. Is there a Mandamar holds then? Mekadesh B'Milva is Mekudeshes. Yoni? Is there a Mandamar Mekadesh B'Milva Mekudeshes? What? Yeah. There is such a Mandamar, right? So Mekadesh B'Milva Mekudeshes. Or in the Gemara here, before the Gemara came to its, you know, clear conclusion that you have to distinguish between Milva and Hanas Milva. And the Gemara was just like, you know, bouncing around the idea of, you know, Ribbis and so on. So, okay. So, if there's a Mandamar Mekadesh B'Milva Mekudeshes, is it so obvious that it should apply to Ribbis Katsutsa? Why not?
Maybe there's no Chov.
What do you mean there's no Chov?
That's not Chayav to pay in the Ribbis, because Al Pi HaTorah she can't give him the Ribbis. So she doesn't owe him anything.
Okay, so that's the main question, which we're going to deal with in just a second. Meaning, even if you hold, and that would be true, you know, maybe. Certainly that's true if it's Gezel, right? Again, if you're talking about being Mekadesh with the Ribbis that is given, so that's a Chafza Shel Gezela, or it isn't, you know, maybe it depends whether it's a Dover Mesuyam, whether it was initially that, you know, that was identified, all the things that we just discussed, Chilukim that you can make, you know, a moment ago. But if you're talking about the milva of the Ribbis Katsuta, right? So that seems like a different entity. So here what you might say, and this is what Adam is saying, and this is what some of the Achronim are bothered by, that maybe it's Gara Mishare Milva, in that every milva is Yotze, I shouldn't say Yotze Bederim because it's an opposite meaning. Every milva is subject to Gdia. Let's say it this way. In every milva there is a Chiyuv Piraon, Mitzad Halova, and in every milva there is also, right, a Koach Gvia, or Skuse Gvia, Mitzad Hamalva. So to the extent that that is true, you know, the Kaddish B'milva, you know, makes some sense, right? Because it's a right. The person has to pay, and I have the right to collect. And the question is whether that is a kind of a commodity. We'll get back to that in just a second. Whether that's a kind of a commodity, you know, that can be legally treated as a legal commodity for transactions, right? And we're going to discuss that very thoroughly, obviously. We'll try to move more quickly, but... you know, both in terms of dine mamadis, the mecher, v'shav mecher, as well as kiddushin. Maybe kiddushin requires more than regular mecher, etc. Right? But at minimum, the benefit or the advantage that we're dealing with is that there is a chiyuv, piro, and that there is a schus of gviya. An interesting wrinkle in all this is whether or not it matters that, you know, the milva is you know, is toshlo shimyom or tochazmano, you know, or not, right? That would be an in between case, right? If I have already, you know, a chiyuv piron, right, and schuse gvia, that's the best scenario, you know. If you know, not till next week, and the question is whether I can use it. So that's an interesting question, right? Because there's still a chiyuv piron and our skuse gvia down the road. The question is, how do we look at them? But if you're talking about ribbis or ribbis kitzutza in particular, so the whole point is that it's we paskin that it's yotze b'dayanim. So if that's the case, even if you held mekadosh b'milva mekudeshes, right? If you can't, if there's no chiyuv piron and there's no skuse gvia, right? Then what is there? Now, let's say there's one and not the other. Is that possible? Is it possible to say that maybe there's no Schuse Gvia, but there is a Chiyuv Piron? Or maybe there's even Schuse Gvia, but, you know, it's still Yotze V'dayanim? Right? Those are three interesting middle perspectives that we should look at. But those three interesting middle perspectives are very much part of the previous topic, right? Because the more we look at Ribbis Kitzutza as a form of gezela, right? The clearer it is that there's no skuse gvia and there's not even a chiyuv piro. On the other hand, if we say, oh, it's take the other way, you know, take like the Ritva, it's a chovas hagabra of the malva to return it, right? That's an interesting question, right? If he has a chovas gabra to return it, does that mean he doesn't have skuse gvia? At least, what about? Maybe he doesn't have skuse gvia. Maybe he does, and it's just a question of afuche mitarta lama. Those are two things, two mechanisms going on at the same time. On the one hand, is the idea that you know, this is a totally legal transaction from a chosha mishpat point of view, and the lova, you know, is obligated to fulfill his commitment, and the malva even has legal rights really to. You know, to be gova. The only thing is that there's also a chovas gabra to return it. So if I can collect it and I have to return it, that's what we call a fuche mitar talam. Right? That would be the easiest way, you know, to solve this particular problem. On the other side of the ledger, the more we think that this isn't, you know, total gzela, let's say, you know, mitzara malva, it's gzela. Maybe mitzara lava, it's not. You know, it's possible that the lova is chayiv lefroa, because he committed, and he's not in bigzal, but the malva is prohibited from doing it. Again, not according to the Rambam in Perek Yod Hilchos Eidos, right? Halacha Daled, but one could say that, in which case that's an interesting question. What do you need? Just like we could ask the question, toch, you know, zman achiyuv, you know, what do you need in order to be mekadesh b'milvah mekudeshes? So I want to just go through some of the makoros on that for a couple of minutes. The second part of this question is even setting aside, you know, the issues of ribbis, which we just discussed, right? What about the lovas chiyuv? What about the malvas gviya? And so on and so forth. Let's talk about it from another point of view. And that is the Gemara and Mem Zayin, right? Yoni said that the Gemara and Mem Zayin of Aleph has a mandamar, b'kadosh milvah kudeshes. What is the Gemara? If you could read just to get that Gemara in on the record for a second. Yeah, on Mem Zayin, yeah. Oh. Oh, so stop there for a second. So our Gemara is Abaya, Vamba Beis, correct? And the words Milvalot Sonitna don't appear. The Gemara Mem Zayin and Aleph is Rabba, and that phrase is very prominent. It sounds like the Machlokas, whether Makadish Milvah Mekudeshes, and Mekudeshes is a Machlokas, whether or not Milvalot Sonitna or not. The idea that we're dealing with two different sugyas, even, or two different manda amrim, you know, Baya and Rabba, even though they both think Makadish and Milva ain't a Mekudeshes, la halacha, is something of the Netziv. Let's go back to this, but the Netziv speaks about something to think about. But more particularly, Yoni, so according to the Gemara Mem Zayin and Aleph, for the moment, let's assume that it's all one sugya. So again, Dibra Gemara, let's say, you know, are Ashirin Bedaf Mem Zayin and Aleph and Aniyim B'makom Vavam B'Beis. So the Gemara tells us that the problem of Mekadosh Milvah Einu Mekudeshes is a problem of Milvah Lahotzah, which is what Rashi quoted, right? Does Rashi and Bamed Beis quote it? Yeah, you have the line on Bamed Beis and Rashi? Yeah. So that, of course, comes from the Gemara Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, but... Right, it's not in our Gemara. Okay, so why am I making a fuss about this? So in addition to the problem we just mentioned, which is, if the lova is not obligated to pay Duris Katsutza, and even if he is, if the malva doesn't have the right of Gavia, right, maybe even if he does, but it's just Afuke Mitar Talama, right, our first question was, so good, say Mekadosh B'milvah Mekudeshes, but... That's a typical milva. This is even worse than a milva toktmana. Now I'm asking a different question. What does it mean milva lahotzah nitna or milva lahotzah nitna? I mean, the Gemara is saying that according to Rashi is quoting it for Abaya that the problem of kadosh milva ainu mekudeshes and milva lahotzah nitna, right? And then Rava is saying, yeah, that gufa is the argument on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, yes or no. So what is? And we're going to discuss it more fully, obviously. It's already a bit of a like just an opening to illuminate it. Eliminate the problem, right? So what does it mean? The pashtas. I mean, there are different views. We'll have to discuss them. What? I'm talking about particularly, let's say, either way, just to explain a little better, what does Milvah Lahotzonitna mean, which is Mekadosh Milvah Einu Mekudeshes, but more importantly, what would Mekadosh B'Milvah Mekudeshes the Milvah Lav Lahotzonitna mean? What does that mean? That what? The what? Meaning, it's like, you know, what Isaac asked me before about Gzela, right? Which is, if I lend you $100, right? So, does it matter that you've spent it, let's say according to Rashi, does it matter whether you've spent it already or not? Is the $100 in the context of Milva ever considered to be a be'en? Correct? So you could say that, and again, we'll see whether that's really the case, whether that's the issue. But let's say for the moment that may be the point. So according to the Mandamar, Mekadosh B'Milva Mekudeshes, because Milva is Lav Lotzonitna, Yoni, so what are we saying? is it limited to cases where the guy's still holding on to the money? Maybe. Hard to believe. Okay. But let's assume for the moment that it was, or let's just say it goes even beyond that. But the point we're trying to make is that I gave you $100, and giving you $100, you know, could be viewed, it could be viewed as the money itself, as long as it's the end, you know, is viewed like a ban, and it's my money till you spend it. You have the right to spend it, but till you spend it, maybe it's like Pikarun Kalechidisa Vashusa Damari Issa, just so you can turn it into something else whenever you want, right? Or, let's assume, and we're going to elaborate this, that what we mean is something much more conceptually significant, right? What we're really trying to figure out is, when I give you money, I give you $100 as a loan, right? So is there this $100 loan, right? Or I gave you $100, it's just a description of kind of, now you owe me $100. I gave you $100, that's long gone, you know, except that it generated a chiyuv. And that chiyuv, I guess the most innocuous way to look at the whole thing is, I gave you $100 that triggered your obligation later on at some point in time to give me $100. And that what you could say is that in between, in betwixt and between, we're not denying that there's a loan, but we're kind of playing down the loan as a cheftza, you know, and in any real, you know, kind of sense. Certainly, we're playing it down as something that's more, as I say, a cheftza, more concrete. Right. Again, it's easier to explain it if you were to take it in a narrower way. It's just harder to believe that's really what that could only mean. Okay. Why am I telling you all this? Do you have that in Ribis Kitsutsa? Are you? Do you have it?
I mean, I guess by Ribis Kitsutsa, it's from the beginning, you said it's going to be Yotis Bidayani, probably. So
no, forget about that. But that's something else. We're talking about, do you have the right to collect it? I mean, these are overlapping issues. I'm not suggesting that they're not connected. They're just, but they're separate overlapping issues, right? What I'm saying right now is that you could have thought that anybody who holds that there's a milva, which is nitan to be perceived as a legal commodity, right, that can be used for transactions, that's only, you know, one which is initiated, you know, by a real Messina with real money, right, and which corresponds, right, I'm not sure where you want to draw the line in this. It could be one which there really was money and it relates to that money as a ban. That certainly doesn't apply to Rubis Katsutsa, right? It could be that maybe it doesn't need to be that, but it has to be initiated as a ban, or at least as a received, you know, hefta, you know, that triggers a hischaivus, you know, in return, and that's always kind of there. It's not so tangible, but it's not non-existent either. That is not true in Ribis Kitsutsa either, because Ribis Kitsutsa doesn't correspond to the money that the Love received. He received a loan of four, and we're talking about whether or not we can use the fifth, Zuz, that he is obligated to return. Can we use that right in the context of being Makadesh B'milva? Right? So if it's not correspondent, never in mind that it didn't come about, right, as a Nesina, or certainly not, you know, any kind of actual physical paper coin, whatever, ben. So even if you held Mekadesh B'milva, Mekudeshes, it shouldn't work in Ribis Kitsutsa. And this is true, probably, no matter what you say about the nature of the Isra of Ribis Kitsutsa. Correct? The only thing to save this is to say, yeah, do you want to say something? What?
I have a question.
You do not.
But
you stretch it.
Rhetorical, or is it directed towards the audience?
My question? I mean, what to say about it?
Yeah.
It's directed towards the audience.
What?
It's directed towards the audience.
Okay, so
but if no one else wants to answer it, then we'll turn it into rhetorical.
So whether or not the Mice of Kedushin, he hasn't been going over the facilities, if the Mice of Kedushin constitutes an action of written.
No, we'll get to that. That's a different question. We haven't discussed that yet. That's something to talk about maybe tomorrow. Namely, is the benefit of Kiddushin itself of Ribbis? We haven't talked about that yet. I'm actually in this context now through Ribis, kind of, and we'll highlight it when we talk more about Milvalotzonitna and so on, and possible, you know, again, Totsmano and Milva Bishtar and Milva Bamashkon and, you know, all these things of the difference between Mechar and Kiddushin. This is the bigger question of the nature of Milva. I'm just bringing it in now because now we're talking about Ribis Ketzutza. We're going to, you know, move away from Ribis Ketzutza in a minute. So I'm just pointing out that that there are two problems with being the Kadesh B'milva, the Kudeshes, you know, applying even to, right, the Milva of Ribis Ketzutza. Right? One is a problem based on the fact that the Malva, right, is not going to end up keeping, you know, the extra zoos in one way or another, and therefore if that cuts in to his chusei gvia and or to the chobas hapiron of the loved, depending on where you draw the line here, then it becomes an interesting question whether or not mekadesh b'milva is sufficiently mekadesh b'milva mekudeshes is sufficiently accomplished or not. Forget about everything else. Kaddish and milva is always good, but this is not the kind of milva which you can't, where your hands are tied, or you know, it's not obvious. That's question number one. And what I'm asking now is question number two, is that if the reason of Mekadosh and Milva Mekudeshes is because of milva lav lahotzan, no? So it depends, obviously, what that means. But according to certain understandings of what it means, it seems to, either way, fall short in the case of Ribis Ketzutza, right? Because it doesn't correspond to anything that the lova was given, not anything physical, certainly, and maybe, you know, maybe not even anything, you know, commodity-like, you know, as a chobas tashlumen. So then I'm asking either a rhetorical question or a real question, and that is, so what should we say about that? I think there are two things. Did you want to say? Well, what you said was something a little different, which we'll get back to, but I don't think it answers that question. So I think that, yeah.
Meaning, can it be, if you see it, the conceptual one, that it's affecting a chiyuv that's not equal to that?
Say again?
Can you say that if it was the conceptual creation of a chiyuv later on?
So number one, I think if you'll tell me if this is what you're saying, if I'm putting words in your mouth, but what I understood you just to be saying is, number one, we should walk away from this interesting discussion, this little snapshot, by saying, you know what? Milva, lav, lahotzan, nitna, has a much broader meaning. I mean, what it means is that as long as there is any kind of obligation whatsoever, even an abstract obligation, right, to return a chefetz, even a kovas agavra, mitzad alova, again, forget about the ribbis part, but the point, even though it doesn't correspond to anything received, not as a be'en, and not even as a chiyuv, it doesn't matter. A chiyuv is a chiyuv. A chiyuv, when we hold milva lav lahotzan nitna, it's not like the narrow reversal of milva lahotzan nitna, right? And it goes way beyond. What it really means is a milva may not look like it, but it's a commodity. And therefore we don't care whether or not it corresponds or not. We care, assuming that it's the case, that it exists. Is that kind of what you're saying?
That wasn't the same thing.
Okay, so you try what you're saying again, because I'm interested to hear what you're saying.
Meaning that if it's going based on the chiyuv, so it's, I guess it might be the same thing.
Yeah.
That it creates...
The chiyuv, the shalem, if there's any part of it, is a commodity. Right?
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't correspond to, and there never was a bed. It's a very expansive view of milva, lav, lotza, nit. Right? That's number one. Unless you say that the Gemara never really entertained all of this, meaning this whole discussion is, you know, why is there not an additional problem in addition to milva, you know, lahotzan nitna, mekadesh milva, and mekudeshes? Yeah.
Because within that first option, they just offer. Is it so obvious that in the case of Ribis Ketzutza, if the woman knows that she doesn't have to return it because the yotzei has been dayanim,
yeah,
shouldn't there still not exist any type of chobas agavra at all, or any type of chov, even if you say milva lahotzan nitna?
Are you addressing? I'm not sure. Are you addressing the first questions?
No, what we just said, that it's possible to have a more expansive view of milva
lav lotzon it, no?
So in that tzad, in the case of Ribbis Katsuta, where would the Chovas Hagavra exist if the woman knows that she doesn't have to return the extra Ribbis Katsuta?
Right. I think here there would, at minimum, have to be a Chovas Hagavra Mitzidah. I think it wouldn't be necessary, perhaps, that you have skuse gvia, even theoretical mitzido, right? But I do think at minimum you'd have to be have a chovas piron mitzido to consider that to be a commodity.
But why is there a chovas agavra on that fifth zuz at all?
Well, that's a different question. If you hold that, that gets you into the overlap of what Ribbis Katsuta is really all about. That's if the problem of Ribbis Katsuta is a chovas agavra and it's totally centered around the malva, then mitzad alova he agreed. He entered into a freely. Nobody put a gun to his head.
Doesn't the Meiri differentiate between when the woman knows whether or not that
he? No, the Meiri says that regarding something else. The Meiri says that even if you say Mekadesh Begezel Dida is going to be Mekudeshes, right? That's because she knows whatever. But Mekadesh Veribis Katsuta might be even worse than that because it's a Gezel that she doesn't have Yediyah about.
You wouldn't be able to bring that
but that, that's an Umdana line. Anybody have that line open? I mentioned it. Isaac, you have that? Where he says that it's, in some respects, being Mekadosh Beribis, not the one you said before that, where he says that it's been like, it might be even worse, being Mekadosh Beribis Katsutsa Zayna Mekudeshes, it's worse than being Mekadosh Begzela Dida. So again, these are umdanas that translate into mechila b'tals, but I don't think it's relevant to this bigger point. Okay. Anyways, so it's interesting. The mefarshim here, the Avnei Miluim. I just want to. It's late already, so I want to guess. Get into this right now. The Amnei Miluim, which I think I gave you to look at, right? On Chav Ches has a very big piece on all of this. And he discusses these some of these questions. So he does address the issue. In addition to addressing the issue that we spoke of before, which is, you know, what is the status of Be'en and Ribbis Katsutsa, and whether you make, that again, the Mishnah Melech and Hefes Malva and so on, whether you make distinctions between, you know, a ketzitza meirosh about a be'en, or a ribbis ketzitza which is paid bedamim, right? And the middle case, a ribbis ketzitza bedamim which is paid with a be'en. Again, he doesn't put it this way. I'm just reorganizing it. So that's an issue which is discussed in Mishnah Melech and others. That's where he gets into the question of being miyashev, the question of the en, the ta'us that goes back, and right, he wants to make they're marshaling the evidence to show that even if Yod Ribis Katsutsa Yotze B'dayanim, maybe even in the case where the Katsitsa was about a chayfetz be'en, right, even then you could pay back money if you choose. But again, that might depend on the nature of Ribis. So the Amnei Miluim though discusses the other question. Maybe if we're talking about the case, which certainly we're also talking about, of actually having received the fifth zuz and using the fifth zuz to mekadesh an isha, so that is an issue. That's one issue. Af agav the ribbis katsutsa yotze b'dayanim mikol makom yochal kadesh, right? Lo yehi shu chayev la, lo amar kinsi sela sheni chayev lach. V'chein yeshomar im gazal mimana mo su mekadesh ba, right? V'lo amar shu matzir gezel shelo di mekudeshes. Aval im lokach mimena, right? Eze chayfetz beribbis su mekadesh bo, yeshomar de'ena mekudeshes, yeshomar didi shakalti. We already mentioned this. Ella Shamashma Fila Makadish Bemos, Sharibis Katsutzalab of Kedushin. Sounds like Rabbi Yerucham isn't limited to cases of a Be'en, but it would apply even to the case of Mos. Yeah.
Wouldn't this logic would be the opposite way too, that even if you held Milva Lo Sadita, it could be that since you didn't give the fifth Suz, and you could actually be Kadish with the fifth Suz.
Say that again?
Because it's the Nisina's halva that is the problem and makes it lotzadim.
I'm not understanding. You're saying Mekadosh, you're saying the other way, the opposite of what we've been saying?
Yeah. Meaning, if you
mean that even if you hold that Mekadosh, the Milva typically is Einu Mekadosh, because Milva lo hotzon it now, that's not true in Ribbis Ketutza, Dafka, because it was never be'en to begin with?
Couldn't that work the same way?
I mean, why would it be Gara?
If
I give you the money, you're saying it's not a commodity.
Right.
But if I just agree to pay it back,
then it's never chiyuv that she now actually owes him. That's more.
I mean, it's the discrepancy between having received cash and having to pay back, you know, a more amorphous chiyuv rather than the amorphous chiyuv itself, despite the cash.
Right.
I mean, I hear it, but it sounds a little contrarian to me. I'm not. Yeah. I don't mind contrarian.
I
but
just see it be working the same in the opposite direction of Mokalav, though. It's
You know what? Hold off on that till we get to Mivel Otzon it a little more. I don't see it that way, but I don't really understand. Well, I don't want to spend time right now on it, but let's table it for now. Anyways, Amnam b'chidush haritva mevur lehedjet afilu nosna achefetz beribis ketsutza mikudeshes, meaning even with the actual money. But is it starting with the assumption, right, that the case of the milva shel ribis ketsutza is worse? That's what I was saying before. Right? Right? Even if that was the ketitza, even then, according to the ritva, it would be good. So again, the Mishnah Melech makes a distinction. The Avnei Miluim likes the view that even Ketzitzas Be'en doesn't matter, at least according to the Ritva. I think for the Ritva that's probably correct. I just don't think it's necessarily true for the ones who think it's a form of Gazel. Although even then there's room for it in light of our analysis of the previous year. But he's pointing out that the Mishnah Melech does make the distinction between Ketzitza and Nesina of a Kli Mesuya. And there are some who think that even the Damim themselves, even with the Ketzitza's Bedamim and Nesina Bedamim. So there are three places to draw the line. Le'ani Astaiti, Nira Kamosha Kasabnu, Varayim Mehoditani, Nira Chavim Mos, Shalrib, this is interesting. You transpiring right from niach lem mos shal ribis apishin ribis. The Gemara says that only if it's a davar mesuyam yirchayv mishum kvod aviv. So the question is, if it's a davar mesuyam, then why mishum kvod aviv? Right? Maybe you should say that in that circumstance it becomes a be'en. But again, since we're dealing with the next generation and there's no chovas, you know, there's no hagdara of gezel, that would neutralize the raya of the Avnei Miluim. Everybody with me so far? Right? Now, the Avnei Miluim is trying to bring a raya against the Mishnah Melech, who says that if this ketzitza of a be'en, that in that situation you are obligated, you know, to return the be'en. He's saying the fact that the Gemara has only a din of davar mesuyim as, you know, Kavod Abrios and so on, or Kavod Aviv, proves against that. But what I'm trying to point out is that in a Doma the Banim to the father, especially if you think that is the kind of Rubicon in terms of the Gezel aspect of Ribbis. But okay. The Chain Mukach Mehodeshmaitan Bekidesh Isha Beskar Hamtanas Mos, that will leave. Ubishas Shom, the Hiksha Hayanos Milba Hechadami. On the language, now he's getting to the second point, right? Even if we held Mekadosh Milva Mekudesh, I would add Chayiv Alove, and the Malva has Schuyos of Gviya. The Hava Ribbis Ketzutza, then Isha Chayiv as Klal. The Su, my Haidal Marva Oat. But if we're talking about a situation of, right, where there's no ability to be go there. So how can you talk about, you know, even according to the Manor Makadish Milva Mekudeshes, how can you talk about that? Again, the first issue. So Miunira de Lodami Lasugyan, he talks about again the case of Mekaptos and of the N, fine. So just to, you should know that the Pnei Yehoshua is also bothered by this question. Namely, if there's no Gviya, because Yotze B'dayanim, how could we even for a flash think that Mekadosh B'dibei Ribis, right, would work as Kiddushei Milva? So Pnei Yehoshua, very interestingly, suggests that the problem is as follows. It's true that Ribis Ketzutza is Yotze B'dayanim. But what about the Hana, right, of not having to, right, even establish that or go through that motion, right, to drag it through the courts, right? I take you to court to tell you that, to say, oh, you charged me ribis katsutsa and you have to return. So maybe the benefit that I have, that I can skirt all that because now I don't, or I get that back, or I don't have to pay it, but better, right? Maybe that's worth something. That's a pruta to be mekadosh in Yeshua. That's how the Pnei Yehoshua resolves this issue. Now, the Pnei Yehoshua wants to suggest that the Gemara's Hava Mina would have been based on the fact that even though there's no Gviya, right, and there's no Chovas Hagavra, nonetheless, there is a kind of Hanas Hagavra. Okay. The Avnei Miluim doesn't like it, so he came up with the following idea. Kim Dechov Yeshkan, Balova Chayevu, Elisha Torah, Gazra, Shelo Yikhu Amava, Mishum Hochi Parich, Va'orainu Milva, Afa Gav, Shena Malva, Yachal Etvo, Sobedin, Raidu Kai Gavna, Kosova Tosis Perka Gozel. Okay, he talks about the Tosis, we'll talk about maybe not tomorrow a little bit, and of Tariches, right? The Tosis of Bava Kabbat, Tariches, seems to deal with a very similar case where the Malva, or the equivalent of the Malva, doesn't have the ability to force payment. It's a skirus case. Skirus polling case. So if that's the case, then even if you hold Mekadosh B'milva, right, then Mekudeshes, it's not going to work. Exactly parallel to what we're saying here. Ribis Ketzutza is going to be Yotze B'dayanim, so it's worse than Milva. Tosa says, Hosam Shaini Dekozman She'ino Maksur HaKefetz L'Haba Milva Klau. The problem there is not that when you have a milva, right, which is not subject to being yotzei b'dayanim, right, that we don't consider it a milva, such that anybody holds you can transact with a milva works. The problem there is that kol zman she'enu maksur hakefetz, it's not even a milva. Aval heitzu chay v'elash adayin lo yigia zman olifroa de'enu yachal letovo b'din, right, mekudeshes l'mandor mekadosh milva mekudeshes. V'achanami chayivu elash enu yachal letovo b'din. Afil Yarshav Ein Yecholim L'Tovo Tafsiv Lo Tikach Me'ito Nashach Zeh Afil Libno Azir Mash Ein Kenim Kvar Gava Lo Azir Lebrei. So basically, L'fi Mashak Hasavnu D'Chov Shoribis Havale Milva Olamadar Mekadosh Milva Mekudeshes. So I did B'Chov Shoribis Mekudeshes. Basically, the conclusion of the Avnei Miluim is that the Lova has a chi of Piron. And it's just the Malva, right, who doesn't have skusei gviya. And he thinks, that's the second assumption that he doesn't spell out so much, that the Hagdara of, you know, Mekadesh or Kone, the Milva, doesn't require skusei gviya. It requires chovas piron, chovas tashlum. But the truth is, you could have gone even further, as I said. You might have said that there's even a skusei gviya, just that there's a chovas gavra to return it. Especially according to the Ritvo, thinks that that's klape shmaya, not even klape adam. Maybe even if it's klape adam, just that afuche mitar talama. You don't have to go drag the courts and waste everybody's time. You know, you're going to take $100 and then you're going to return $100. But that doesn't mean, who cares? I mean, whether that's what it is or there's no chiyu. The answer is, this is where we care. If you hold Mekadosh Milva or Mocher Milva works, So, and you think that milva doesn't just depend on the chovas agabra of the lova, but it also really depends on the schusim of the malva, then this would be a great example where we would have this particular, you wouldn't have the tangible nafkamina, but you would have the nafkamina in this regard. Okay. It doesn't help us with the second problem, namely the problem of, you know, even if you hold Mekadesh Milva Mekudeshes because of Milva Lavlo Tzonitna, how does that apply to Ribas Ketuza? Unless we say what we said, I think we were saying the same thing, I hope, before. But that we have to get back at. Ashal said one other point before we conclude, and that is that the Avnei Miluim here says, what about Lamaskana that you could be Mekadesh Bahanas Milva? Right? If you can be Mekadesh Bahanas Milva, will that apply also? What about the chov shoribis mahani banos mechilas milva or not? The hana mia lohave kiven de malva mechuyev limchol hachov v'shaloyikach v'havaleikai. So he thinks, this is fascinating, that being mekadesh b'hanos mechilas milva will dafka not work on the ribis ketuza. Because even if you accept his view in Ribis, which is that the Zechovas Gavra Mitzad Alove, just no Skuse Gvia Mitzad Amalve, he thinks that Hanas Mechilas Milva doesn't depend on Chovas Piron, it depends on Skuse Gvia. And in a way, it's an opposite of the Pnei Yeshua that I mentioned before, right, who said, even if, right, it doesn't qualify at all, right, maybe there's no even Mechia Chovas Piron, but there's like, you know, Hanas Mechilas Milva in the sense that there's Hanas Agavra, you know, that you don't have to go through or you know, or waste your time in the courts. It sounds like Hanas Mechilas Milva is a very formal category for the Avnei Miluim and a very informal one for the Pnei Yeshua. Okay, that finishes up our discussion of Ribis as its own right, Mekadesh B'Ribis, and also Ribis as a milva. And tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem will turn to the question of whether Kiddushin is Ribis, and then the bigger questions of Mekadesh B'Milva, some of which we have already begun, let's say, to touch on.